As we are inching closer to the start of the 2021 CFL season, it'll obviously be a little bit different than previous years. There'll be no preseason games, but a little bit more extended training camp. Sounds like there'll be some scrimmages between Edmonton and Calgary, and we'll find out just how the coaches will approach that. Jamie Elizondo joins us once again. Coach, welcome back to the show, and obviously I can imagine you're super excited to get things going. How much of a challenge will the non-preseason games be, do you think?
Yeah, Jason, great. Thanks for having me on, and appreciate you guys spending some time with me. But, it's a really good question. I think there's a couple of challenges in that regard. You know, the ability to – the first thing that comes to mind is the ability to tackle, right? Use those preseason games to evaluate tackling. And there's really two aspects to that, not only tackling defensively, but also – you know, getting hit as a ball carrier, as a receiver, as a running back, as a tight end, you know, just feeling that first shot on the ribs and being able to bounce back up. So that's a challenge, trying to simulate that. And that ties in, obviously, with ball security and hanging onto the ball. I think the second part, too, is, you know, you use those preseason games so much to get evaluation on special teams. And, you know, a lot of guys end up making the roster because of their special teams value. And, you know, in preseason games, there's probably more punts and punt returns than there are in a regular game just by the nature of it. And so you lose that ability to evaluate those guys under those circumstances, how they compete, how they get off the line, how do they, you know, chase the ball downfield or protect downfield. So those will be challenges, you know, right off the bat.
Jamie, what about as far as just getting up to kind of game intensity, you know, looking at where the world's been the last 18 months, no one's played any games.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting point because you know, these guys are going to come in and be in quarantine for about a week, meaning they're going to be in a hotel, you know, literally off their feet. The protocols allow us, some guys to start working out individually, you know, on the latter days of their quarantine. But, it's going to be a fine-tuning of amping up, right? Because you can't recreate football speed and the transitions that are required in football. You try to replicate that in your training. You know, you might set four cones out and do a cone cut drill, but your body anticipates a transition with. Whereas when you're on the football field, those transitions happen at times when your body's in so many different positions. So something that you can't recreate, we're going to have to watch load early, how much they're doing. And, you know, there's going to be some guys that you worry about that have more soft tissue injuries initially in camp because they haven't been playing for a year and a half. So those are all concerns and all the things that we'll have to monitor and that we have a plan for.
Jamie Elizondo joins us, head coach of the Edmonton Elks. And Jamie, you and a lot of other teams have had veterans, you know, suddenly retiring, and you know, sounds like maybe that there might be a few more for your squad. I guess let's talk about Dennis, because that's obviously a big one on the offensive line. Offensive line's crucial for the success of your team. I saw your quote yesterday. It didn't come as a surprise to you. You've kind of been in discussions with Dennis for a while. But how does this impact, do you feel, you know, like the overall depth of your O-line? Is it a big blow, or do you think you have enough depth to overcome it?
Yeah, you know, Brock has done a great job of assembling the staff or the roster. And, you know, we work together in that regard. And one of the things that we were able to do early on when we jumped on board and we're working together is, you know, we had some really, really quality depth at the tackle position. So Derek Dennis is a good player, we've surrounded ourselves with a number of guys. We've done a good job in the global draft. There's a number of guys that were on the team previously or are joining the team again, after an injury, or guys that are just joining the team for the first time. So we feel pretty good about our plan up front. You can't ever account for, you know, losing a guy, right? It always impacts you a little bit. But, the ones that are here and the ones that want to move forward and the ones that are excited about the seasons are the ones that I'm excited to coach.
Jamie, one of your coaches, has moved on. So it's a little bit smaller coaching staff before that even. So how does that kind of – does it reshuffle some portfolios for different coaches?
Yeah, and, Chris Rippon brings a ton of special teams experience. I mean, he's got 37 years of coaching experience, 10 years of special teams coordinator experience. And when we built this staff, one of the concerns for me was making sure that we were surrounded with enough guys that had special teams experience. You know, there's five guys on our staff that, including myself, that were special teams coordinators at some point in their career. And so I think that, you know, special teams is one of those components where you have one guy that directs it, but you really have the entire coaching staff involved in some capacity, maybe not every guy on every team, you know, but we want to have a hand in every aspect of that, where a coach is involved in at least a aspect of special teams, because I think it helps stress the importance of that, which is immense in our league especially. And so we feel pretty good in that regard. And then we hired a linebacker coach in Cam Robinson, who's got CFL experience and was in Saskatchewan for 3 years. So, you know, I feel like we had a good succession plan, and that's one of the challenges for coaches, right? Especially, you know, a first-year head coach like myself, just making sure that you have a plan in case you lose a guy. And so we're going to try to hit the ground running, and, you know, excited about the staff that we've been able to assemble.
Jamie, you've been coaching for a long time. You mentioned, though, like when you're a head coach, there's just so much more. And I've talked to a lot of coaches their first time they were a head coach, and it's not the X and O's that surprised them. It's the managing personalities. And suddenly, like, you got to be as much of an X and O guy as you have to do almost be a psychologist and a therapist and just be understanding the players a little bit more. How do you plan to approach that? And is that just something you kind of just have to wait to experience it before you really know how it's going to be?
Yeah, no, it's a good and interesting point. I think we're ultimately not in the football business. We're in the, you know, relationship business. That's where it really starts, right? We sit in a locker room with a bunch of guys as coaches, and it's all about building, you know, authentic relationships, real relationships. And the relationships that are built throughout the locker room, throughout the building, are the ones that really create championships. And that you spend a lot of time, you know, cultivating that, those relationships and cultivating that culture. But at the end of the day, yeah, you, as my experience in the first, you know, 3 months has been, sure, my time is now divided. I don't get to sit as much time as I would like, or any coach would like, just watching and analyzing football and game planning and those things. But ultimately, you understand that what we do in building those relationships is way more important to winning championships than, you know, whatever plays we draw up or schemes we draw up or how we teach and how we coach it. But it all starts in those relationships, you know, with the guys.
Jamie, how much would you expect the opening few weeks of this season to be a little bit like the Wild West, when there's so many changes, coaches, players through the leagues retiring and all that stuff, and no game tape for the last last year? Do you kind of anticipate being a little bit high flying football for the first little while?
Yeah, the word we're trying to use right here is flexible, right? I think there's going to have to be some flexibility in the things that we do. You know, as we look at our roster, as we look at the guys that are in shape, as we look at, you know, all those factors of what our team looks like this year, you know, injuries here, retirement there, you know, all those kinds of things. So we're going to try to be as flexible as we can. And I'll tell you this, I hope we're centered with a bunch of guys, both coaches and players, that, you know, don't make any excuses about the COVID protocols or the distractions. I think the teams that handle those things the best internally and just focus on what we've all been wanting to do, which is coach and play football for the last 2 years, those are the teams that are going to be successful at the end. But it's definitely going to require some flexibility.
Jamie Alessandro joins us. You've had a lot of time, maybe more than you expected, to look and game plan. And, you know, you come in with a reputation. We've seen it pass, very creative offensively, Jamie, in what you want to do. When you look at the weapons you have, you're obviously very familiar with your quarterback. So I guess we'll start there. And like, because you know Trevor Harris so well, do you feel like it's easy to come into the season because you're like, I know certain throws that he likes, and so that's what we're going to put in the package? Sure, you want to challenge a quarterback and then say, hey, we got to try something. But you kind of know your quarterback very well. You talked about that relationship earlier. How much an advantage is that, even though you're a coach on a new team?
Yeah, Jason, I think it's a huge advantage. And I think it starts with just the having the confidence, you know, with each other to be able to say, I like this, I don't like that, I want to try this. Hey, can we look at it this way? I think that's the huge part. When you come into any organization as a play caller, head coach, that dynamic with any quarterback, there's kind of a dating process, right, where you're trying to get to know one another and what can you say and how they interpret it. Can I coach them hard? Do I get on them? How does he respond? The beauty for Trevor and I is we've worked together and we know exactly how we both like to operate. And so I think that's where the biggest advantage is. As far as throws, you know, Trevor's really grown over the past, 2 years, just in the season that he played here, but also in the offseason and all the work that he's done. So I think we just love being around each other, love talking football. And I think that's where some of it starts, is just the comfort of liking the guy and being around the guy. And that extends down to guys like Greg Ellingson, Jonathan Rose on defense, Sir V, all the guys that have been fortunate enough, they're great players to be part of this. And, so I think that flexibility, that familiarity is really key.
Jamie, I'm interested because of the way this kind of year has gone. Have you had more meetings prior to the start of training camp, whether it's virtually or on phone calls, and getting kind of everyone up to speed so we can hit the ground running on day one?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, there were some limitations for us being able to meet with our players per the CFLPA agreements. And so, most teams have been limited in their ability to, sit on Zoom calls and go through schemes. And I think it's also been, a bit of a challenge because for a while there, we didn't know if it was going to be an 18-game season, a 14-game season, or a 10-game season, an 8-game season. So I think we have not met as much as we like, but that's obviously because of the CFLPA requirements that we were working under. But I think everybody's going to come in here fresh, excited, ready to learn. And that's one of the things that we try to focus on here a lot, is our process and how we teach and how guys learn. The days of players walking in and being handed a 400-page playbook and having to learn that stuff on their own, that's gone the way of the dodo. So we try to be a little bit more player friendly in how we group things and how we teach things. And the entire coaching staff is big on the process of how players learn. And hopefully that helps us, transition as we've been away from those meetings.
Jamie Elizondo joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Jamie, obviously you're the head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. You'll be strongly involved there. Noel Thorpe, is the assistant head coach, but he's your defensive coordinator. What's the attack? What approach should Elks fans expect from your defense?
Yeah, I've said this for a while, and without giving too much, I think Noel is one of, if not the best defensive coordinator in the CFL. I remember before we worked together in 2018 in Ottawa, when we competed against each other in 16 and 17, and he was at Montreal, gosh, those game planning nights, went on long. Those games were battles. At the time, there were some games where they struggled offensively, but his defenses have always been challenging. He's always – one of the things I love about Noel is he's always looking at, the next step, the next progression, the next little wrinkle. We have a lot of fun going into each other's offices. It started in Ottawa and just, hey, let me ask you about this. And how do you defend this? And, if we did this, how would that, seem to you guys, and what's challenging for you? So we've always had a great, great working relationship. I have a ton of respect for him. As far as what we're hoping to put out on the field, I just want us to be aggressive. I want the guys to cut it loose. Great team chase, run after the ball, create turnovers, but it really starts on the how we chase the ball, and we're going to be great at doing that defensively. I know Noel's going to set that tone, and I'm going to reinforce that.
Well, we look forward to it. And quickly, one last one. AJ Gass left. Chris Rapon is now the special teams coordinator. He was the assistant before, so there's some familiarity there. But you talked earlier, Jamie, about the challenge of, guys winning jobs on special teams in training and preseason games, and that's not there. So we all know the importance of special teams, especially in the CFL. How much of a challenge is that? How are you going to rectify, you know, the special teams and which guys are good? How do you, I guess, play that out? Is it going to be the scrimmages that are supposedly going to happen with Calgary? Is that how you do it? Can you do that in practice where maybe you don't want guys going full steam, but you might have to just to see what they can do?
Yeah, I think one of the things we're going to have to do, Jason, is put our guys in competitive situations, in competitive drills, in practice. And what I mean by that, you know, most people think, well, don't guys compete every day? They do, but literally what you want to see in preseason games is how a guy bounces back after he gets beat, how he handles the stress of a situation, how he matches up one-on-one on a guy. That's what's going to be missing. And so we have to recreate some of that in practice. And the second component of that is we're going to have to recreate that, obviously, with the scrimmages against Calgary. So there's a balance there between finding out what you need to find out, you know, and what shows up on tape, but at the same time, not putting ourselves in a position where we're going to lose a guy or two to injury because of being over competitive. And that's going to be the challenge too in communicating that to our players, because so many guys are going to be trying to earn a job, earn a roster spot, and that's a challenge there too. So, I mentioned the conditioning earlier, guys being in shape and, you know, not soft tissue injuries. I was really talking about the coaching staff there.
Well, Jamie, always good to talk to you. We look forward to talking to you throughout the season, and training camp's just around the corner. So we look forward to it.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.